We continue in our Revelation Bible study, point 15, page 19 of your outline, which can be found on firmfoundationri.com. And we've taken a look at the things which will take place after this. In other words, future events. So we've talked about the general apostasy of the church at the time of the rapture, which is the first installment of Christ's second coming. Christ is going to come for his saints. And then after the rapture, the seven-year tribulation begins, not with the rapture, but with the signing of the covenant between Israel and Antichrist. The revelation, the seven-year tribulation, is split up into two periods, the first half of the tribulation, the first 3.5 years, and then there are mid-tribulation events, and the second half of the tribulation is the final 3.5 years, and this time is also known as the Great Tribulation. Well, at the end of the seven-year tribulation, there is going to be a great battle, the Battle of Armageddon, so-called because it is fought in and around the Valley of Megiddo. And at that battle, we are going to have the Lord at his second coming. So we have Armageddon, which is the final battle of the tribulation, and then the Lord returns. This is the second coming, or the second installment of Christ's second coming. First, we said that he came for his saints. Now he is going to be coming with his saints for all the world to see. And the second coming passages are these. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, here it is, with all his saints. At the rapture, he came for all the saints. At the second coming, 7 years later, or a little more than 7 years later, he's going to be coming with all his saints. The next passage we had read earlier in this study, but we'll go back to it. Jude 14 and 15. There's only one chapter in Jude. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. The next passage that we have that deals with the second coming, the visible coming of Christ before all peoples, is in Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah 63, verses 1 through 6. Who is this who comes from Edom? And as we said the last time, when the Lord returns in his second coming, he's going to be coming back at Bozra in Edom, which is the place where the Israelites have been brought to be protected by God during the Great Tribulation. He's coming with dyed garments from Bozra. So there's an initial battle there at Bozra of Edom, which is in present-day Jordan, and then he's going to be heading back in the direction of Jerusalem. This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. So in other words, Jesus Christ is going to be fighting this battle by himself, and we're simply going to be following along, observing his great and decisive victory. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury it sustained me. I have trodden down the peoples in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth. And another new Old Testament passage that deals with the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation is in Zechariah chapter 14, beginning in verse 4. And this actually happens subsequent to the return of Christ at his second coming at Bozrah in Edom. He's going to make his way to Jerusalem. And we read in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4 that in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. And then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Ezal. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and here it is, and all the saints with you. So as we said, the Lord will come for his saints, and then he's coming back with his saints. And in Matthew chapter 26, verses 63 and 64. Matthew 26, 63 and 64 we read, "But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, It is as you said." In other words, yes. "Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." So he's going to be coming back in like manner as he was taken up in the book of Acts, chapter 1. And then we're going to go to Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. This is the last of the six second coming passages that we're dealing with here in survey throughout the Bible. We'll be covering this in more detail when we get there. Revelation 19, 11 through 16 reads, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Reminds us of John chapter 1, doesn't it? The Word came down, and he became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and that Word is identified as Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting, as Micah writes. "And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean," this is us, right? "Followed him on white horses." Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with the rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. After the church age winds down, we have the general apostasy. Christ will come for his saints. Those who are alive will be caught up in the air with them in the clouds, and those who died in the church age will have their bodies reunited with their spirits, and they will forever be with the Lord, as we learned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And then those who are left on the earth will go through 7 years of incredible tribulation, such as the world had not heretofore seen. And that 7 years begins with the signing of the covenant between Israel and Antichrist. And this is the 7-year tribulation period. And then Christ is going to come back to make all things right on the earth and to establish his reign. But between the second coming, Armageddon, the second coming, and the establishment of his 1,000-year kingdom on earth, there is an interval, what we call the regathering, which is a 75-day period in which the Lord will gather those from all of the corners of the earth to come back to the Holy Land. And we read in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, of this time, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up." So this is the midpoint of the tribulation, when Antichrist sets himself up as God in the temple. And there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. So there's 75 days in addition to the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 10, Moses writes prophetically of this time, and how this time will be a regathering of the Old Testament saints, the Old Testament faithful, and the Jews from all of the four corners of the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice, according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart, with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. And then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Also the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you, and you will again obey the voice of the Lord to do all his commandments which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand and the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. The Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So there'll be a regathering of the Jewish people from all of the nations of the earth. So there would be those who are in Petra, and also those who had been dispersed, as well as the Old Testament saints, and they will come and they will take up their inheritance in the millennial kingdom of Israel, which will be ruled by Jesus Christ, God the Son, Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah himself. The millennial kingdom will be established, and there will be a 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth with his saints. And in Revelation chapter 20, we read, "And then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who was the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image." These are the tribulation saints, those who died for their testimony in the 7-year tribulation, who had gotten saved during that time. "And they had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such a second death has no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with them for 1,000 years. So in the 1,000-year kingdom, there are going to be the saints of the church age, you and I, the Old Testament saints, believers who lived in Old Testament times and look forward to the promise. There are going to be those who accepted the Lord even in the midst of that 7-year tribulation time, which was so terrible. And then there will also be those who died during that time for their testimony. Now, there is going to be earthly conditions on that time, where Christ will be reigning from Jerusalem, from the highest point, and people will come to him from all over. And there's going to be a system of memorial worship. In Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48, we have a description of how the worship will go in the millennial kingdom. Many aspects are similar to the Old Testament worship, but these things won't take away sins, but they'll call to mind the ugliness of sin, which will magnify the greatness of our Savior Jesus Christ, who attained to the victory over sin. And after the 1,000 years are up, Satan's going to get one last chance to deceive the children who were born in that time, of those who would live through the tribulation and into the millennial kingdom, who will be able to choose or reject Christ. And following this, all believers will go into the eternal state. The unbelievers will go to be judged, and they'll go into the place of torment forever and ever. So this is our Bible prophecy timeline.